The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 1. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.'" And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.' The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here is the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which translated means 'teacher,' 'where are you staying?' And he said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
I had a very beloved member at Temple Lutheran in Pensauken, where I served for almost 10 years, by the name of Jack Parvin, and I am not offending him. I am not offending him by talking about him. He died just a few months ago, less than 9 months ago, at the age of over 100. He was an amazing, amazing man, who came to church every single Sunday. But he said to me, "Pastor, I don't come to hear your sermons." And I went, Jack. He said, "I come to be with my friends." And I thought, that's great, Jack. That's great. That was so important to him that he was able to be in church with his beloved friends. So, I'm wondering, if I would come and ask you, why do you come to church? I'm wondering what your truthful answer might be. And I'm sure it might vary from Sunday to Sunday. I think most of us who have grown up in the church wonder, well, now why in the world would Pastor even ask that kind of question? And Jack Parvin had grown up in the church. Believe me, he had been in church all his life. But we have different answers. So sometimes, you know, when I've asked other people, why do you come to church? Answers might be something like, well, it's just something you do. Puzzled that, you know, that I would even think to ask some kind of a question. Or, I've always done it, others might say. They might approach Sundays a little bit differently. Or, I love the church. I can't imagine starting my week with any other way. My family's been sitting in that pew for 3 generations. How many of you are in the same pew every Sunday? Look at all the hands go up. Again, a story that I love to tell out of Temple that is not breaking any confidences was this woman who was in her maybe mid-90s, and she sat in the same pew every Sunday. And one Sunday, some visitors came in. And guess what? They sat in her pew before she got there. And she let them know it. She let them know it. Thankfully, they had a sense of humor. The visitors had a sense of humor and were not insulted by that. But But she said, I'm in my 90s. I can say anything I want. I thought, We are creatures of habit, aren't we? Just like this morning, that was a brand new setting for me. I'd never done, but I really liked that, Gloria. That was beautiful. So another person had said one time, I have a drug problem. I was drug to church by my mother, and now I'm drug here by my wife. The kids might say that. Rarely do I hear that the reason people come to church is the love of Jesus, or the goodness of God, or repentance and absolution, or the need to praise and honor the Creator of all that was and is to come, or for the music. It's more often some sense of duty or ritual or habit, and habits are very good things. Not that I'm knocking any person's reason for being here. I'm thrilled no matter what the reason is that you're here. After all, being here is what matters, and God can work with the most distracted, hardened, clueless, or burdened of hearts. I'm not sure that our present reality is all that different from the reality of past generations either. Contemplation, pondering, and thinking about faith and discipleship all take time and effort and intention. I am convinced that often we don't even really truly know what we want because we are constantly bombarded with cultural messages telling us what we lack, what we need, or what new program or trinket or purchase will make us feel or look or be better. The good news, the grace, is that somehow God works with our stubbornness, with our distractedness, with our hesitancy. You've no doubt witnessed the Spirit take root in someone's life, and when they finally surrender logic and reason and cultural expectations, something beautiful happens when they let go of all of that. Their life takes shape and form, and they dig deeply into the discipleship groove and way of being that is a wonder to behold. It's what sets prophets and teachers and gospel activists like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and ministers apart. It's what turns all of us, everyday, ordinary human beings, into more than we can imagine, infusing us with a sense of purpose and mission and drive that truly seeks to make a difference in our world, to bring about a new way of living and being that aligns with Christ's message and example. In our gospel lesson this morning, and I realize I missed a few verses, John points out Jesus to two of his disciples, and they follow this unusual rabbi. That was John's job, to point to the Messiah and to baptize for repentance and a changed life. Notice that the disciples don't answer Jesus directly when he asks them, what are you looking for? That was not Jesus' way of teaching, to answer directly. They can't seem to say, asking instead where Jesus is staying. They just seem to know that they need to be in Jesus' presence, and that is enough. In short order, they leave life as they know it to follow and learn from this radical rabbi. Even though the way isn't clear, the answers aren't pat and ready, and they can't seem to answer a direct question, it's enough to be life-changing for both these disciples and for many others. They follow Jesus. And this is good news. There is hope for all of us. We don't have to have all the answers. We can even make mistakes. We don't really even have to know exactly why we're drawn into this beloved community of St. Matthew's. What are you looking for? For any of us, to be able to answer in a 3-minute, clear, theologically sound elevator type speech, well, I'd have trouble doing that. The best place to start, my friends, is being here. Being fully present, no matter why you are here. No matter why you are here. No matter what. No matter who God, no matter what, because God's welcome is so wide and encompassing to all of us. To all of us. That is the message of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose life we celebrate this weekend. God's welcome is for all of us. It's wide. Becoming a disciple of Jesus, letting our light shine, is the easiest and yet also the most difficult thing we will ever do. But it also leads to the most amazing life that you can imagine. So, it's still very early in the year 2020, although January seems to be floating away very quickly. But it might be a year for all of us to look and discover a clear vision for why folks show up here and why that matters. We have new people who are following in Pam Bowen's footsteps to be evangelism, Lorraine Horton and Dave Freck. And they have some very exciting new ideas for evangelism, for inviting people to see Jesus, to come and see. Come and see. Imagine the possibilities. As Paul reminded the followers in Corinth, God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's a really wonderful place to start, no matter why you come to worship. It's about God. It's about God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And that is very, very good. Yes, no matter whom you are looking for or what you are looking for, with God you will find it and so much more. Amen.